Theresa May has resigned as British Prime Minister. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning. In the last hour, British Prime Minister Theresa May has announced she will stand down from office on the 7th of June. Her resignation has been widely expected, with pressure from her own Conservative Party to leave. She said she had tried her best to achieve a Brexit deal that works for the country, and that challenge still remains for her successor.
It is and will always remain a matter of deep regret to me that I have not been able to deliver Brexit. It will be for my successor to seek a way forward that honours the result of the referendum. To succeed, he or she will have to find consensus in Parliament where I have not. Such a consensus can only be reached if those on all sides of the debate are willing to compromise.
She went on to say that serving as Prime Minister had been an honour and bid the nation a teary farewell.
I will shortly leave the job that it has been the honour of my life to hold. The second female Prime Minister, but certainly not the last. I do so with no ill will, but with enormous and enduring gratitude to have had the opportunity to serve the country I love.
That was Theresa May. Let's do the numbers. Now, that announcement from Theresa May sent the pound higher, breaking its two-week losing streak against the euro. It's now trading flat against the euro and the dollar. President Trump will be treated to pageantry befitting royalty later today in Tokyo. Alongside Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, he'll be treated to ringside seats at a sumo wrestling tournament, an imperial dinner banquet, and a visit to a naval base. The two leaders will be eager to put on a good show of diplomacy whilst junior ministers etch out a potential trade deal. Fang Siyu is an economist at the Economist Intelligence Unit.
This visit will be a huge diplomatic effort on Shinzo Abe's behalf to try and keep Trump on side. And the two leaders have to because the junior members of their administrations are now locked into trade talks. This visit for Trump will be an opportunity definitely to raise his profile. He'll be visiting the UK almost straight afterwards. For Shinzo Abe, it really is just to cement the personal relationship that he has with Trump and that he's actually cultivated.
Away from the diplomacy, though, what is at stake in terms of trade?
At stake for Japan and also just hanging over these trade talks is the threat of the US imposing 25% tariffs on autos on national security grounds. Recommendations have been made, but Trump has decided to delay acting on these recommendations. He's given a 180-day reprieve. In the meantime, he's hoping that by giving this reprieve and that a trade deal will be signed between the two countries before the end of the year.
And so in terms of impact, if we look at how Americans will feel about that, it will have a direct impact on ordinary Americans and Japanese.
Absolutely. The Japanese manufacturers have actually got assembly plants in America employing thousands of people. If tariffs come in, it's going to be a lose situation for Japan because they'll lose market share. It'll be a lose situation for Americans because they'll have job losses on their hands as well.
That was Fang Siyu. Now, it's the world's biggest comic book convention. Comic-Con, which started life in San Diego, is now a global phenomenon with events in Tokyo, Delhi, even Dhaka. This week, it's coming to London. The events are a chance for comic fans to admire anime artwork and comic book merchandise, as well as take part in games. But probably the most exciting aspect is the dress-up involved, fans dressing up as their favourite comic book characters. Molly King is a Comic-Con regular.
I'm going as the main character, Alex, from the novel A Clockwork Orange, which is quite a popular film. I love Comic-Con because, you know, the outside opinion is that it's all about comic books, but you can be anybody you want there. You'll be walking around and there's so many different characters there. It's quite exciting and I think nostalgic as well. The buzz of seeing, you know, a Powerpuff Girl in one corner, Yoda from Star Wars over in the other, you know, somebody from your favourite childhood book in the other is just, it's very exciting. I think you revert back to a childlike state for a little while. So it's very fun and very friendly.
Comic-Con is big business, with the American events bringing in millions of dollars. Raina Dennison is a media professor at the University of East Anglia.
So a lot of the Comic-Cons started as places where you could go and buy comics. And so you have usually an exhibitor's hall full of standees and booths where you can go and buy things. These days as well, somewhere like San Diego Comic-Con, you'll have all the big film studios buying a booth and putting in advertising for their latest TV shows or their latest movies. So there's money to be made from that. In addition, of course, everybody's buying tickets to go. So you have that revenue stream coming in as well.
How would an event in San Diego differ to an event in Tokyo, for example?
The industry in San Diego is very much built around Hollywood now and Hollywood's big announcements for the year. So that's become really dominated by the film industry and the television industry rather than by comics per se. In Japan, you have two separate sets of events. You have the Comiket, which runs twice a year in the summer and in the winter, and that's by fans. And that is fans making their own comics and taking them to sell them at a big, enormous football pitch sized warehouses full of people all selling their own comics. And then on the flip side of that coin, you'll have something like the anime industry doing anime expos where they announce their new season of shows or movies. So they're very different in terms of what the industry is doing in those different places.
And that was Comic-Con expert Raina Dennison. In London, I'm Vishala Sripathma with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.